Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, everyone. So happy that you are here starting your day in a positive way with the Kim Pagano Show. I've got Sean Stern in my studio, and I've got Tom Spence here. Thank you guys for being here and waking up with me. I do want to remind everyone out there that we have tons of things that we've been giving away on Facebook. That is The Kim Pagano Show Facebook. And like our show and share our show. That's what it's all about. We're getting our name out there. Also, I want to remind you that I do have not only the 6 a.m. show, but the 2 p.m. It's an entirely different show with different guests, and I'd love you to join us on that one. Also, for any reason, if you miss any part of our show, you can listen on KimPaganoShow.com. That's my website, and all of my shows are downloaded there. Also, they're all downloaded on iTunes. And again, if there's something happening out there in the 805 and you need me to spread the word about an event coming up, give me a call at 805-419-0008. Or email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Well, we're going to get started right now. And our first guest is Kamali Nuna. And I've had her on before, but we're going to talk about Indian food. And Sean, you said that's like one of your favorites.
One of my top favorites.
Do you cook it?
I'm excited about this guest because I'm a little intimidated. That's one of the cuisines that I've kind of just went and bought. But I'm a big Trader Joe's shopper, so the whole tie together is
there you go.
Exciting.
And myself too. Also, today we're going to be having Jim Borchard on, and he's going to be talking about his book, Think Like a Black Belt, and telling us exactly how to do just that. So stay with us. We've got a fun show today. Of course, I do have giveaways, and I'm going to do it on my Facebook today. So, you know, what we'll do is I want to make sure that you go to The Kim Pagano Show on Facebook, and I'm going to be giving away Sharky's gift certificate and also a gift certificate to Zyzik's Cafe for breakfast, so or lunch, whatever you want there. Anyways, let's bring our first guest on, and Kamali Nuna, are you there?
I am here.
Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us, and tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been on my show before, but you have two books now, right, and also cooking classes.
I live in Camarillo, and but I am the author of two cookbooks. One is Entertaining from an Ethnic Indian Kitchen, and the second one is The Trader Joe's Simply Indian. I am a chemist by profession, and then I decided to change my career once my kids went to college, and I wanted to follow my passion and write things about cooking.
Ah, I love it. Now, did your children, do they cook too?
They do. My daughter, who is in college, who is simply lives by my second book every day because she's in graduate school and she doesn't have that much time to cook. But she can cook my entire first book, and then now the second book is like her lifesaver.
Right. Now, Kamali, do you consider your recipes to be easy or hard?
My Territory's book is the first book, Entertaining from an Ethnic Indian Kitchen. It presented a traditional Indian recipes with slightly international touch. And there are something very simple to very complicated recipes. There is something for everyone.
Okay.
Whereas Territory's Simply Indian will offer something entirely different from the first book. This is gourmet recipes compiled here are exotic and delicious, and using only Trader Joe's sauces and Trader Joe's ingredients. How easy is that? You can have dinner under half an hour.
That's
Indian
my kind
dinner.
Of time.
Healthy,
I like
delicious.
Wow. So now you're saying you can have dinner ready in less than or within a half an hour.
Yeah.
describe what kind of meals you could make for that.
You can make chicken tikka masala using just browning the chicken and then using their sauce and add a little bit of your own touch, and you have chicken tikka masala ready within half an hour.
Wonderful. Chicken tikka masala is like one of my favorites. Hi, Kamali. This is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Now, do you have to have a chemistry background to put these recipes
together? Yeah, there you go. I like
that. Or is it sort of like you use the ready-made, some of the ready-made ingredients from Trader Joe's, and it's kind of like some fresh and some ready-made combinations?
See, my chemistry background helped to do the research and with my first book and putting all. See, I understand the spices and what it will do to your body when you eat spices regularly.
So
that chemistry background definitely helps. But you also have to have a passion. That's where I love to cook and I love to entertain. That is the passion that goes through both my books.
So is there a different way of entertaining, a different style that Indian, you know, cuisine is different than American?
Indian food, a major difference with Indian food and the other cuisines are you are getting flavors from spices rather than from fat.
Oh, that's
very
interesting.
Healthy.
Wow. So what are the most important spices that you use? And if you could give us some of the reasons why and what are their benefits?
Okay, with Indian food, the turmeric, the spice used in almost all Indian curries, has anti-inflammatory properties. Diets rich in curcumin is a compound that is found in turmeric. That reduces the risk of Alzheimer's and different forms of cancer. So that's how every spice has got a meaning, and also it will help you to live very long, active life. So if you want to lead a healthy, long life, eat Indian food. That's what it is. And also if you have to have spices in your pantry to cook Indian food, these are few spices that I keep it on hand, such as turmeric, cayenne, coriander, cumin, fresh ginger and garlic, and cilantro and lime. So though, if you have those spices, then you can cook Indian food anytime.
Okay. And so what are your favorite dishes that you put together? I know you do a lot of classes and stuff like that. So what is your favorite dishes, and are they easy? Can we make them?
You can make them. Anybody can make them.
Anybody can make them. Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
That's so. What are some of your specialties?
I am giving farm to table cooking classes all through the summer, and what these classes are that I grow everything from A to Z, all exotic vegetables to fruits to flowers and everything. Both my husband and myself, we both are avid gardeners.
Oh, okay. So you guys, what are you growing in your yard?
Yeah. And see, what I do is I take the students to my kitchen garden, and then we harvest what is fresh and available that day, and we come to the kitchen and we prepare meals around those fresh vegetables.
Okay. So
with Indian spices, of course.
Right. Now, and I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, one, I'm so glad that you are sharing your day here with us and starting your day in a positive way with the Kim Pagano Show. I've got Sean Stern and Tom Spence here, and I'm your host, Kim. And we are talking right now with Kamali Nuna and her book. Well, we're talking about Indian food, ethnic Indian food. But not only that, is she's actually partnered up with everything that you can get at Trader Joe's, which is one of my favorite places to find things to make there and add her little spin on it. But now you've actually started almost growing a lot of your food in your backyard and then adding your spices to it. So let's just talk about what do you grow? What are you growing?
I grow everything. All eggplants, bell peppers, too, ginger, and turmeric, and okra. You name it. I grow everything, almost all vegetables. All greens and salad greens. And then in my next class, I'm introducing another green that's called moringa leaf. Have you ever heard about that?
No. What is it called?
Moringa leaf.
No.
No, moringa leaves have got 5 times more vitamin C, 2 times more protein, and it has all amino acids and all antioxidants in one leaf.
Really? And what do you do with it?
You can just stir fry and you can cook with it, and we make a lot of stuff. This is originally, I grew up with the moringa leaves, and then now, United Nations, when they want to eliminate world hunger, and they are giving, in South Africa, every household, they are presenting one moringa leaf tree.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So that can be eliminated. Your all malnutrition can be eliminated with one tree per family.
Yeah, it sounds like a superfood.
It is a superfood.
Where do you buy that to grow it?
It is that you can get it online.
Oh, okay. So you get a lot of your specialty vegetables and stuff online.
But I grow moringa leaves in my garden.
Mm, okay. And is it something that grows fast, or is it?
It grows. It's a very fast-growing tree, and you can plant it, and you can start harvesting leaves within 3 to 6 months.
Wow. Now, I know... Oh, Sean, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Komali, you said something very interesting. One of my friends is a chef, Cordon Bleu trained, and what they have in every Cordon Bleu school says fat equals flavor. And as we all know, that's not necessarily the healthiest means to good food. And you said something very interesting, that the Indian cuisine kind of replaces fat flavoring with spices to do a lot of the work to make interesting tastes. And what are your personal spices that you like to use or emphasize in your cooking?
Yeah, that is exactly true. I love to use spices, and I love to replace fat with spices. And then my favorite spices are fresh ginger, green chilies, and garlic, and coriander powder and cumin powder. And with the spices that you are replacing fat, and you are getting flavor from spices. And then when you are eliminating fat from the food, I'm not saying totally eliminating. We are reducing considerably low. Mm-hmm. We are using only 2 tablespoons of oil for each curry, you know, than putting half a cup of heavy cream or 1/4 of butter to your food. And then don't get wrong idea about Indian food by eating in Indian restaurants. That does not represent typical Indian food.
Wow. Well, now, where do we find your book, Komali?
You can buy it on Amazon.
On Amazon, okay. Now, do you also grow your okra? Oh, okay, because I'm looking at your okra recipe. I'm telling you, if you like Indian food, you got to get one of Komali's, well, both of her books. I have the entertaining one. I'm looking forward to getting the other one. But it's just a little twist on what we already do with our food, but you've added all these amazing spices to really spice it up. Thank you so much, Komali, for being a guest today, and I look forward to talking to you again. It sounds like you are cooking up your passion.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. Right now, what I would love to give away is on Facebook right now, if you go in and like my page and share it with everyone and put, Zyzix Cafe right next to it. It's ZZYZX Cafe. And put your name on there, and we will pick a winner. So right now, and that is how you can win. That's what it's all about. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Jim Borchard, and we're going to talk about his book, Think Like a Black Belt. So we'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel.
Looking for a camp, a preschool, an orthodontist? Look no further than ParentClick.com, one-stop shop for families in Ventura County. You'll find everything for every age in the ParentClick directory. Looking for something to do this weekend? Check out our community calendar. How about a place for your teen to volunteer? Read Parent Chatter. Go to ParentClick.com and register for our weekly newsletter. ParentClick.com, the local family scene and city guide for Ventura County.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, if you're just tuning in right now, I do have Sean Stern and Tom Spence with me. And, gosh, you know, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day on the Kim Pagano Show. Our next guest is Jim Borchard, and... he's actually got a little bit of a journey here, and I'm excited to talk to him. But he actually wrote a book, Think Like a Black Belt. And let's welcome Jim. Are you there?
Yes, Kim. How are you doing? The name's Bouchard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bouchard. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. Not everybody speaks French.
You know, it must be a last name thing, okay? I'm really, okay, Bouchard. Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, you want to start with the messy thing that you referred to?
Oh, well, you know, let's start with the positive. I'm all about positive, so let's...
There you go.
So we're...
Well, these days, you know...
Go ahead.
Yeah, these days I get to spend my time teaching people how to think like a black belt, which is an awful lot of fun, and that's based on my life in martial arts. I got into martial arts originally because I was, at the time, a two-time college dropout and a drug abuser. And I needed something to square my life away and get it back where I thought it should be. And when I got involved in martial arts, that's what started giving me that process. And then over the past few years, we took that process, and I've been practicing and studying for almost 30 years now, and we developed that into a philosophy you can apply for business and real life as well.
Wow. And so, I mean, you know, I know that you say that it's kind of a journey, and we wanted to start on the positive. How did you turn your life around? That's what's so amazing. And that's, to me, that's the story that people really like to hear. I mean, that's what we do every day, is try to turn our day around. So I'm really excited to hear about it.
Well, you know, I think when we look back on things, there's often we can see a turning point. I don't know that we see it in the moment, but certainly for me it came when I was living in an old beat-up 1950s vintage trailer near the shore of a lake in Maine. And it was wintertime, and I was very heavily into doing drugs at the time. And I can remember one particularly cold night. It was very cold because we always had money for drugs but not enough for heating fuel, and we had run out. And I woke in the middle of the night, got out of my sleeping bag, which I certainly didn't want to do when it was cold out, went to the bathroom, and I noticed that it was kind of a strange sound. There's no nice way to say it. I flipped on the light, and I looked down, and my toilet had a skim of ice over the top.
Nice.
So I looked in the mirror, right? I looked in the mirror, and I said, this has got to stop. I don't want to live like this anymore. Well, I wish that had been the final blow, but it actually took a few more months to fast forward into summertime, and we're having a Stonehenge party. We called our trailer Stonehenge, actually. And when somebody passed me a joint, I smoked it, and I didn't smoke joints at the time. That's kind of the punchline there. I was up to about 12 or so bong hits a day, plus other drugs to get up and go to sleep and be able to function. Believe it or not, I actually held a job during that time. But at that point, I noticed something strange going on, and I started to run around our living room. And if you could picture one of those old trailers, it had heavy louvered windows, glass windows. And I tried to jump out through that living room window. And I guess my friends tackled me and somehow calmed me down. And then I guess I was hungry, which isn't unusual when you're doing that kind of activity. So I tried to get in the refrigerator, which would have been futile because we never had food in there. But for some reason, I didn't think it was prudent to open the door. So what I was doing was smashing my head into the refrigerator door, thinking somehow that I was going to get in. Well, what I found out later on was that joint that I had smoked was laced with angel dust. I easily could have been killed or been badly brain damaged from that experience.
Right.
That morning, when I woke up from that one, I was back in that same mirror again, and I turned around, and I looked like I'd gone a couple rounds with Mike Tyson, and I said, this is the day. That's it. And that's the day that I quit.
Mm.
And so, you know, I can look back. Like I said, in retrospect, I can see that as the turning point.
Hi, Jim. It's Sean Stern. I have a quick question. How did you, so you hit this point in your life, you knew a change needed to be made. How did you find martial arts? How was that the catalyst to the change?
That's where we get to the rest of the story, right? And I wish I could say it was, instant. It would have been nicer if it was. But it was actually about 2 years after that moment. And, you know, it's interesting. So I talk about this. People are sometimes surprised when I say, it's easy, actually, to quit drugs or to quit these other things. All you have to do is make a decision. Staying off the drugs is what's really the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, I knew I needed something in my life that would offer some sort of process to build my sense of self-worth or self-value. I had none, and that's most of the reason I was doing the drugs in the first place. And so anyway, one day I was walking up the street. I was living in Portland, Maine at the time in the city, and people had told me about martial arts, especially my brother, who thought it would be a good idea for me. It would probably help. And there was a big giant sign there that said karate. And I walked up the stairs, saw a couple people working out. I was quite impressed. So I turned around and walked back down the stairs. And thankfully, my instructor must have needed students that day pretty desperately because he chased me out.
Really, isn't
it?
And so, again, for anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Jim Bouchard, and did I say it right?
It's close enough.
Okay,
sure.
There you go. And but, you know, it really sounds like that whole black belt walking in there changed your whole entire life. And so what are you doing now?
Mm. Well, now, like I said, most of what I do is I get to go around teaching people philosophy. I do a lot of corporate speaking and conference speaking and training in different areas. We can apply that philosophy. You know, I used it to quit drugs and to turn my life around and become an entrepreneur. But, you know, here's the thing. Everybody's got a mirror the same as I had that day I decided to quit. And everybody's got something they want to change, right? So this process can be imprinted very easily. We use it for things as technical as sales and customer service training. And or we talk about leadership, talk about mastery in the in business management, certainly other types of leadership, and apply it in various areas. We have a really exciting program now for women entrepreneurs. It's really taking off. So
a lot of fun.
So it sounds a lot like part of the mindset is a self-empowerment aspect. Giving them tools.
Absolutely.
Or something to kind of realize what they're missing or what they want.
You hit the nail right on the head, because if we tear martial arts down to its core elements. In fact, if you challenge me to reduce it to just a couple of words, first of all, I would always install discipline. You know, a lot of the reason I'm doing this is because discipline, focus, excellence, leadership, these qualities are not optional in business or any other part of our lives, although we've allowed a lot of these values and traits to kind of go vestigial.
But they're really essential, right, to be successful?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, they're essential to, right, to just manage our lives and be decent people. But you're right, Sean, it's about power. If I'm training myself to better a punch or a kick or a self-defense technique, it's to become more powerful, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing in real life as well.
Now, how do you keep, like, even on a more personal level, how do you keep yourself from not slipping back into those old destructive cycles? Because I know
question.
A lot of people,
yeah.
like you said, yeah. it's more about not just making the change, but keeping the change with you. Like, and we all have our ups and down days, and we're tempted mm-hmm. to go back or revert. How do you personally, what sort of yeah. techniques do you utilize?
Well, again, it's back to the mirror a lot, right? The secret of the martial arts is always, what I say is the secret is practice. You know, people always talk about these secrets. Well, it's no big secret. It's practice. So you have to create disciplines, which to me is a meaningful and intentional habit. And the more we do that, we consciously create disciplines in our life and practice those diligently. And that's what keeps those other bad habits or bad cycles from coming back. Or if you do find yourself falling into those cycles again, it allows you to make that adjustment and come back to where you need to be.
So you talk about mirror, okay. Do you actually mm-hmm. stand in front of the mirror?
I have had my moments over the years.
Okay, yeah. Because I did have another guest, and yeah. you know, he actually practices mm-hmm. his selling techniques. He was an author right. and a motivational speaker, and he said mm-hmm. if he looked in the mirror and he said it until he stopped laughing, he could take himself seriously.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's
and one. And it's interesting yeah. what makes different people, you know, really go forward in life. And I think
I was going to say there's no more poignant vision of yourself, I suppose is the way to say it, than that what you're going to see in the mirror. That's in real time. And I think, you know, I'm not a lollipops and puppy dogs kind of guy. I think you'll learn that very quickly, but there are some techniques that are very, very powerful that way. And when you confront yourself, especially when you're at a low point, and that's, you know, I've done that several times in my life, and I'll do it again if I need to. I'll just go and look at myself in the mirror and, you know, really honestly ask myself if I like what I'm seeing, and if not, what should I change? Because that's the biggest thing, right? It's one thing. Recognition is the most important step, but then you have to identify what you want to change, and you got to get to work.
I think this plays into one of your quotes from your book, perfection is not a destination, it's a never-ending process. So you're never at a state where you want to be. You're in the process of always becoming, I think is what you're saying there.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the biggest problems we have in our culture these days is this, that people think there's going to be some sort of a static point in time or in space where everything's just going to feel right, you know? I've got the perfect house, the perfect job, the perfect partner, whatever the case may be. And it's not so. I mean, Lao Tzu taught us a couple of thousand years ago that the only constant in life was change. And we need to embrace that. Once we embrace perfection as a process, then every single moment or every little step we take, and believe me, that's really what we need to focus on. That's why I'm not one of these big goals type of guys. We need to focus on these small steps, keep our focus there, and then, you know, over time we can expect that we're going to be changing our lives. So, yeah, it's critical to embrace perfection as a process. It's not someplace we're trying to get to.
I like that a lot. Now, in your book, do you have techniques that people will learn how to do, or, you know, is it just process by elimination? Who was your mentor?
Oh, my goodness. If we started now and I started giving you the list, it would be
Oh, so there were several people that made a difference.
Yeah, living and dead. You know, we have access to so much wisdom in our society, in our time, that it's crazy when people say they don't have heroes or they don't have mentors. So certainly reading is huge. And, you know, Lao Tzu, who legend has it authored, you know, the book of the Tao Te Ching, certainly was a big influence. Real people that are living today, certainly some of my martial arts masters, Master Yang Xing Ming, Master Jun Rhee, Professor Nick Sirio, and some of these folks. I mean, these guys really, really walk the walk. They didn't just talk the talk. So,
I love that. Now, let me ask you a question, and I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show every Saturday morning from 6 to 7, and then again from 2 to 3 with a completely different interview group and a different show. Jim, you know, it sounds like now you got it, okay, and you can share it. But what happened when you couldn't get it? What would you tell somebody, you know, I mean, it sounds like now you do look up to people. You do admire different reading books and different things. But what happened when you were closed? What was that? Was it you didn't believe in yourself, the low self-esteem? Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. And, you know, I almost loathe the word self-esteem because it's become such a cliche. And, you know, you can hold yourself in esteem just by doing some affirmations or, you know, trying to believe that you're in a better place than where you are. What we're really talking about is self-value and self-worth. Now, when I was at that deepest part of my life, I had no sense of self-valuation whatsoever. I didn't think my life mattered to anybody, much less myself. And that's why I was even to the point of suicide a couple of times. But you asked, you know, how do you get it, or how do I do it now? I'm saying I don't get it yet. It's a process of getting it, right? Perfection is not a destination. So I've learned that process. And, well, in fact, I mentioned a guy named Professor Sirio. He had a beautiful definition of black belt. And he said all the black belt is the attainment of a good learning attitude. Once you learn how to learn, you learn that process, right? Then you can apply it in life. So one of the most difficult questions people will ask, especially if they're stuck, and I go right back to my own playbook now. In fact, somebody just challenged me at an event a couple of weeks ago in Connecticut. They said, all this talk about discipline is great, but she said, I'm really good at setting goals, but I'm not good at seeing them through. What do you say to someone like me? And I looked her in the eyes, and I offer the same answer anywhere I go. My first response is, look, you've got to make a decision. This is simple. It's not easy. And I said, I'm not doing you a service if I tell you anything different. You have to decide you're going to do something. And for God's sake, you just got to strap it on and get going.
I love it. Now, it's got to matter to, I mean, the same thing that's going to turn you on isn't going to turn John on or me on, right?
No.
Right.
No, absolutely not. No, we're all very different people with different needs and wants and feelings and opinions and whatnot. But the core is the same. The process is the same, you know. And I think for that person, had it been a private session, my next step would have been to ask her, what is it specifically that's holding you back? You know, what's the point where you're stopping? And then we would dig into that and isolate smaller steps to take. And I think that's the biggest part of the problem. When someone feels really stuck, it's because they're trying to bite off more than they can chew at the time.
Baby steps. You know what, Jim, will you stay with us? We're going to take a really quick break, and we'll come back and see if we can get through some baby steps with you of how you can really help my listeners, kind of walk them through some of your talk that you're walking.
Love to.
Okay, perfect. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Again, get your name on my Facebook right now, The Kim Pagano Show. And we've got Zizek's Cafe, also a Sharky's gift certificate for two. Put your name on there and put which one you're looking at and share it. Like our page, and we'll be picking out a winner right there. So definitely, I'd love to hear from you. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Looking for a camp, a preschool, an orthodontist? Look no further than ParentClick.com, one-stop shop for families in Ventura County. You'll find everything for every age in the ParentClick directory. Looking for something to do this weekend? Check out our community calendar. How about a place for your teen to volunteer? Read Parent Chatter. Go to ParentClick.com and register for our weekly newsletter. ParentClick.com, the local family scene and city guide for Ventura County.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And I know that there's lots of choices out there, but I'm so glad that you are sharing your time with us here on our show, the Kim Pagano Show. And we got Sean Stern here and Tom Spence, and we are talking with Jim Borshad, and we are talking about him, his journey, his book, Think Like a Black Belt. And I know, Sean, we were talking about that you are very, very down to earth, Jim, and we love that. I mean, that's really what I think a lot of my listeners tell me about my show, is that I'm real, authentic. That's what it's, you don't want to put an act on for anybody else.
Yeah, you don't come off as a guru, you come off as a guy who's kind of figured it out for himself at
or
least.
Or learning, right, every day. Isn't that what we talk
There's
about?
Humility
Yeah. Now, Sean had a question for you.
Yeah, Jim, you know, the other day I was lucky enough to be invited to co-host a talk radio show with Kim here. It was my first time. After I got through the butterflies and I left the studio, I was so thrilled. I had such an up day. I was in the clouds. And then I come across this young man in his early 20s, and he's not there. He's in a depressed mode. He's not where he wants to be. A complete stranger to me, but we get into this conversation. And I was trying to do a lot of the things that you were saying, you know, what do you want to do? What makes you happy? You know, it's not a destination. It's a place to try to just work towards. But what would you have given? Because one of the obstacles or difficulties I found was his inability to be receptive. Because when you're in a down state, and he was smart enough to even acknowledge that, he said, you know, when you're in a depressed state, you're not even open to hearing the advice.
Yeah,
and because it just doesn't. So how do you, I'll call it break the spell. How do you go about breaking the spell for someone who's in a funk and you want to get them out? Can you tell that with our listeners?
If I knew that, then you could call me a guru. And I'm so glad you separated me from that.
That responsibility.
I would gladly, I'm pretty vocal about certain folks, particularly in the self-help industry, that really wear that label of guru very, very well, meaning that, you know, they're quick to dispense advice. They're quick to give people five steps to get them from here to there. And, you know, life just doesn't work that way. We're all individuals. And as far as someone being receptive, you know, all you can do, Sean, I believe this with all my core, is offer. You know, you can offer your advice, you can offer your opinion, you can offer your wisdom, you can offer your love and your respect and your compassion. And I believe those things should be offered unconditionally. But it is up to the other person to receive that. And if someone is authentically stuck that way, it's very, very difficult to break that. That's that person's first step. So I think by even having that discussion, you may have planted the seeds for that person. And maybe just the act of reaching out makes that person aware that somebody is out there willing to listen or help or care about them. And that can be transformational. But when I said unconditionally, meaning that if you expect the return or the result from that, you may be very, very frustrated. What happens is you have to trust that when you reach out like that, that, you know, there is some seed of hope that, that'll make a difference. But I can tell you from, you know, again, from being a drug addict, nobody could have helped me. I know there were people that were standing by and keeping an eye on me, and they were caring for me. But until I was willing to make that change, there couldn't have been any human being on earth that would have been able to help me. So it's a very difficult pill to swallow, but I think it's one we need to. Best we can do is reach out.
Jim, now, when you talk about this to people that you know now, do they change the way they think about you?
I'm sorry, do they do what?
Change the way they think about you. Do people comment on the, you know, when you tell them about your
yes.
past and your journey?
I worried about that a lot when I first started to do these presentations. And at first, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Little Miss Sunshine, but I was kind of like that
yes.
Nine Steps guy. You know, I had this philosophy, and I was sharing it, and I felt passionate about it, but I wasn't sharing me. And a couple of people who helped me get into the speaking business initially, you know, they were very, very good critics, and they said, look, you've got to, it's all fine, but they came, first of all, they came to hear the fighter, and they came to hear you, so you have to share yourself. And so as I became more comfortable with that, you know, and there's always moments of discomfort with it. I mean, it is a hard thing to share, but having done so, no, the only thing I get back is people are very, very receptive, and there's usually a connection. If they haven't been through that kind of experience, like I said, certainly the transformation element is the most important because we all have something we're trying to change. But I also get a lot of feedback from people who, if they didn't have a drug or an alcohol experience, they know somebody who did.
I was just going to say,
their own family, right? Yeah.
Definitely.
No, very receptive. People are very receptive about it.
Now, a lot of people think that those are war stories, right? I mean, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so a lot of people think that you shouldn't go back and tell your war stories, but does it help you?
they certainly wouldn't be much good for anything if they were helping someone, right?
Right.
Yeah. And honestly, it's a little self-serving because it's therapy for me.
Okay.
You know, Sean, you mentioned how do you keep, from going back? Well, you know, if there's a huge difference between forgiveness and forgiveness. And I think it's very important for us to forgive other people, and it's critical for us to forgive ourselves. Hey, we're all making mistakes every day, but the point, or making bad choices. I won't call the drugs a mistake. Those were bad choices. But on the other hand, you know, the root word of forgiveness is to put something down. It's to leave it behind. So you forgive yourself and you leave those things behind, but never, never, never forget about them. And if you can continually revisit those times in your life where you wanted to, and especially where you did make significant changes, you're going to carry that forward. And then most important, you're going to be able to help other people with that as well.
So true. I mean, and the reason I'm asking you, because you hear a lot of people say, oh, don't bring that up. Or, you know, parents maybe say that about their kids. Don't tell everybody about that, right? But you know what?
Yeah.
You're right, is you kind of need to remember where you came from, because you never want to cross that bridge again, you know, right? And so it is a reminder of where you've been and how far you've come, correct?
It is. On the other hand, you know, I appreciate what you said about particularly parents. If parents have been through this. In fact, I had a good friend who I remember her daughter had asked her if she ever smoked marijuana or did drugs, and she said no. And when we were alone, I said, well, that's a lie. You did too. And she said, you know what? She said, I thought about this long and hard. And she said, I will tell her someday when she's ready to hear that.
Right.
I said, right now, all I want her to hear is that I didn't do it. And I would respect that. You know, I wouldn't necessarily do it the same way. And I still do teach martial arts actively as well, and I teach children sometimes. And I do share those stories, especially because at certain ages, those kids are very vulnerable to that type of behavior. And they need to know about it. The monster in the closet is always bigger than the monster that you turn the light on. So,
very true.
I think talk is right. Yeah.
Now, so so much of our music nowadays talks about drugs and talks about negative stuff. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it because it's not really anything new. We've always had that culture. I mean, you can find evidence of that back into...
Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking of Lucy in the Sky right there. Yeah. It just came to me. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Exactly. So, I mean, you're right. Yeah. But I guess, you know, everybody has a journey.
It's reflective.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's reflective, isn't it? That's the thing. The music and all that is reflective of what's going on in society. I think much more so. We've got to pick which influences are going to be strongest in our lives, and particularly in the lives of our children. In fact, we're doing a program called Stand Up. And some of that's in response to the recent, just a spate of violent videos that are put up on YouTube of kids beating each other and recording it, you know, this type of thing. And we've got to teach people, again, not to stand by and watch this. You're not supposed to be running your camera. You know, you're supposed to call the police at the very least.
Yes.
You jump in and you help one another if you can. And it's the same thing with this, with the music and whatnot. I don't have a problem with music. I'm not for censorship. But on the other hand, as a parent, you have to say, my influence needs to be stronger than that outside influence. And be vocal about it. If you think your kid shouldn't be using, you know, listening to that music or playing those video games, well, for God's sake, forbid them.
There you go.
Or maybe you can't.
Around behind your back.
You know, being right? I don't think you can censor them. They'll have with today's technology, though. Don't you think they can find access? It's almost being aware of what your kid's gravitating towards, because maybe you can't stop them, but if you're aware of if they're gravitating towards those sort of negative things or could be potentially negative things, would you impress upon the kid to go ahead and, you know, focus them, redirect their focus on more positive things like a martial arts or a hobby like riding horses or, you know, anything that's on a more self-fulfilling characteristic.
Well, yeah. And despite the popular mythology, I mean, most of the kids that have problems with those influences are kids that don't have strong parental influence, you see?
Yeah.
And so when you have strong parental influence, and like you said, yeah, they're going to get it. I mean, we all did, right? We all stuck around and did our thing. But the point being that there's a lot of studies have been done in this area. There's a very strong psychological connection that happens when a child understands that he or she is doing something that the parents disapprove of, and that knowledge in itself is meaningful. Now, they may still go ahead and do something stupid once in a while. We can't help that.
Right, right.
But knowing that you disapprove, knowing that it's wrong, changes that experience and hopefully over time changes the outcome.
I love it. You know, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and I thank you for starting your day in a positive way. We're talking with Jim Bouchard. And Jim, you talk about this black belt course. Do you teach also?
I do still teach actively, yeah. Not as much as I used to. I've got a lot of good folks helping at my center, because I'm traveling more. But yes, I do, and it's an awful lot of fun because then there's the physicality of it, right? It reinforces all the philosophy. They go hand in hand, really.
Right. And now, obviously you teach the black belt, but what about the mindset? Is that part of that, or is that separate?
It's inseparable. I mean, the you know, in a presentation, for instance, if I'm doing a corporate event or a conference event, we're not doing martial arts, although we can and do sometimes put a martial arts session in there for people that want to. But the point being that, you can't separate it. Master Ri used to say, martial arts without philosophy is nothing but street fighting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very true. Mm-hmm. Right? Anyone can fight, but the tradition that we borrow so heavily from the Asian martial arts in particular has that very, very heavy philosophical river running through it. And to me, that's what attracted me in the first place. I was always more fascinated by the philosophy than the physicality. And, you know, I think, and again, I shouldn't even say I think. I speak against people who do that. I know that these values that I'm talking about are so essential that we've got to get to them. However we can do it. And if it takes people coming to a session and, fancying themselves the black belt, at least mentally for the day, then wonderful. But the important part are the core elements here that are universal. I mean, they aren't limited to martial artists.
Now, Jim, part of your story that I find absolutely fascinating is that you didn't get into martial arts like many of us, like, including myself, at a younger age when your parents are trying to just that, direct you towards good activities. You found it at a later age in your 20s. And I think it's very, for our listeners, I think it's very easy to see where you apply the black belt mindset to people who are in a depressive funk or not, struggling with something in their lives. Could you talk a little bit about how you specifically apply it to the business side of things? Is it about maximizing efficiency? How does it apply the black belt mindset to a more business?
Great.
Well, sure, there are so many lessons there. I mean, for example, one of the things that I like to do when people want to do a physical session is teach them some simple joint locks and throws, and then, of course, that leads to the discussion of leverage, right? How you can efficiently use a small amount of input energy to create a tremendous amount of output power. So there are lessons that can be, shared that way. But again, what I'm talking about with the black belt mindset, really, I'll run down some of the words.
Please.
Discipline, excellence, focus, perfection, confidence, power, perseverance, mastery, leadership, right? And I always, I always ask the question, I say, are these characteristics optional in your business? Let's take a salesperson, for example. When I'm doing a sales session, I'm not doing technical sales. I mean, every company has some sort of process for that. We can make the process stronger. And when I'm talking about that, we're talking about the biggest issues that salespeople face. Confidence, being able to be confident going out representing your product or your service. The perseverance to get through the tough times, right? Focus on the customer and the customer's needs. Because frankly, I don't believe we can really sell anybody much of anything. What we have to do is understand their needs and fulfill them. And that's really, I think, what creates an effective sales process. So you can see that we're taking the same mindset principles and just imprinting them into a different paradigm, which I haven't found one yet where they don't fit.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys can challenge me.
I love this. I want to ask you, I mean, thinking of our whole conversation here, do you believe that you had to believe in yourself, or did somebody believe in you for you to make that change?
I think it's nice when people do believe in you. And I think it's important. And it goes back to what Sean said earlier about the young man he talked to. The flip side of that is we have to be receptive for that to make a real difference. But here's the thing, and Sean, I can tell you straight up, there were some people in my life at the time who I probably wasn't really listening to. But they were there. They were like lighthouses on the shore, Mm-hmm. And so when I did decide to make the turn, then I knew where I could go. I knew where I could go for help. So that makes a difference. But yes, absolutely, Kim. The first step is to sit down. And I don't know if believe in yourself is the right thing. Again, we got to break it down. This is reality, right?
Okay.
I have to understand what resources I have right now, emotionally, spiritually, materially. And sometimes we're working from very little. But when we look at it that way, and this is where I talk about gratitude, because gratitude to me is not, no lollipops and puppy dogs. Gratitude is an inventory. When I sit down and I'm thankful for what I have, it may be nothing more than a roof over my head, or it may be a blanket, right? I mean, I lived in a van for a while, but I had a van, and I could open the doors and watch the sun come up, you see?
Wow.
And when you start to attach yourself to those types of experiences and be grateful for them, then you realize, that's when you realize that there's some abundance around you, even if you're working with limited resources. That's where you start to work from there.
Wow. I mean, just that, what you just said right there, gratitude is an inventory. I mean, and I really believe that if you just start right there of just going over all the stuff that you are grateful for every single day,
right.
You cannot, it's just going to make you in a positive direction. Don't you agree?
It refocuses you, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I could sell more books and probably command a higher speaker seat if I had the answer to everything that some people profess to, right? Or I had a clever poem to go on, gratitude is attitude, or something like that. But no, it's reality. It's a very, very practical process. And my practice is simple. I mean, when I feel myself forgetting that how blessed I am, I actually just take a look around. I sit and meditate for a few minutes, and I just say thank you for the people, the things I have in my life, the experiences that I've had and so forth. So there it is.
I love it. Jim, thank you so much for being a guest. I get a really great feeling from you, and I'm so glad that you've turned your life around and now you're helping other people. That's what it's all about, is when you are working through it and you can help other people. So thank you again, Jim Bouchard, and his book, Think Like a Black Belt. I'm going to have you back. It was really fun. Thank you again.
I'd love to come back anytime. I so appreciate it. It's a blessing to meet both of you.
Thank you so much. Sean, thanks, thank you so much for being a part of my show again.
Thank you, Kim.
Tom Spence and all my listeners out there, again, I know that there's lots of choices, and I'm so glad that you were here on the Kim Pagano Show with us. Of course, let me end the show with something positive, more positive, to lift your life. Your imagination is only your intelligence having fun. With that, have a really great day. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'll talk to you next week.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.